not looking up. They are.
This is the Advancing Need Government Committee meeting on May 8th, 2001, in Hearing Room E.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We need to go ahead and move this along. I'm going to ask Tom O'Connor and Bob.
Open a public hearing on House Joint Resolution 4. Mark, you want to explain what we're looking at?
Certainly. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HJR 4 was originally the state printer, the state printer provision in the Constitution eliminating the provision from the Constitution. We're looking at dash one amendments on HR 4, which would replace the language completely, creating a joint intercommittee on utilities, directing the committee to review Oregon's energy policy and utility regulatory statutes to ensure they account for the current state of PUC-regulated industries, and to set up staffing, funding, what I'd like and membership for give you this hearing committee. About the Mr. Chair. Situation.
Thank you. The dash one amendments create a joint committee oversight during the interim process. Three members of the House and members of the Senate to look at these issues. This is the companion piece in terms of the clarity of language on 1098
City Council has taken the action
to assist in terms of oversight on energy issues and regulatory issues.
Electric utilities represents the 10 small and medium-sized municipal utilities in Oregon.
What the dash one amendments do.
House Bill 3481. Because
is there anyone who would like to testify on
preemption of
local authority? The House Joint Resolution 4.
Cascade Locks charges a higher distribution rate in the South Bank area, not because they're outside the city limits, but because it costs more to maintain.
Mark Tillman of the Public Utility Commission.
Further, the bill would restrict municipal utilities
the,
from operating.
The commission itself hasn't had an opportunity to review this language, and so
not-for-profit
they'll have to get back to you.
And we operate under open borders laws, the Public Records Act, and local budget laws. Governing and setting of rates and utility service policies are done by local city councils or utility boards.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Joint Resolution 4?
Most municipal utilities serve their cities.
Aaron Cena will close the hearing on House Joint Resolution 4. Open a work session on House Joint Resolution 4.
We are not utility districts that serve counties.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. We just heard testimony from Mr. Hellman of the PUC asking for us to time to review it so that they can
get that has arisen from historical circumstances when people asked to be served and there was no one else there.
It's a structural.
The two cities of Vanden and Cascade Locks, however, serve significant geographic areas outside the city with very little population. In these two cases, a higher distribution rate is to cover the larger cost to maintain
it doesn't do anything in a rural, less dense area.
Let me back up for just a minute. The utility bills that you all get in
that. I move the dash one amendments to House Joint Resolution 4. Representative Patridge moves the dash one amendments to House Joint Resolution 4. And then I would just like to make a comment. Special Representative, I just want to say thanks for doing this. I think that this is important to what we're going to do in Oregon. I think, embroiled in the battles of regulation, deregulation, what goes on in the country, what goes on in Congress, conservation, all the other issues that we have hanging out there, I think with the legislative attention that needs to be focused on this issue,
power for your house
will
or your business.
Be of assistance
through
particular piece of legislation. So
trucks,
I don't think it's anything the commission should be afraid of. I think that, I would hope the commission would work hand in hand with the legislative task force to look at the rules and regulations and make an energy policy in Oregon. I would have hoped that some of those things, like siting policies and everything else, would have been.
I'm hopeful in terms of this is an opportunity to everybody get down into the interim process, understand the issues, and try to come to consensus on restructuring statutes in terms of the regulatory thing, bringing it up
higher
today, which you're on
the
conference
outside the community. We do provide not-for-profit service, and we must recover all our costs through the roof from a no-stockholder.
Going through those
this is a little background. Cascade Locks was formed as a municipal utility in the 1930s.
I'm hopeful that there's time to do that. That there is not energy crisis in terms of that is going to take more attention from an eye of oversight and the communication from the legislative branch in terms of as we go forward in this. So that's my hope.
City of Drain is a similar size. In the 1950s, the city began to operate the South Bank electric system down the Columbia River Gorge in a narrow strip between the Eagle Creek Fish Hatchery and Bridal Veil.
Is there any objection to the totally separate system from the city. Mr. Chair, I move current resolution 4 as amended to the full house with the two-pass recommendation.
Because of its location in the gorge, and there are so few people per mile of line.
The issue
as Representative Smith mentioned in the mid-1980s, this South Bank system lost over 60%.
Representative Patrick moves House Resolution 4 as a matter of course the two-pass recommendation.
The direct service from the Bonneville Dam
reported below. We dealt with this and we dealt with the middle of the area moved
and no new residents of course can be significantly improved or no new residents can come in because of the state
growth and commerce.
The Constitution Amendment wetlands areas and so on and to maintain and do the
infrastructure.
South Bank is responsible for 50% to 60% of the two systems maintenance costs and makes up only 60% of
the four city council recommendation.
Bob will talk about the decision in the 1990s when it became clear that Cascade Locks could no longer subsidize wholly subsidize the South Bank area. He'll also talk about that. The city has not been passive in terms of this situation.
Public hearing on House Bill 3289.
They have created a special utility advisory board made up of citizens.
Certainly, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3289 creates the Oregon Renewable Energy Center at the Oregon Institute of Technology. It allows the Department of Higher Education to receive monies from public or private sources to support the center. Mr. Chair, might I add, Mr. Chair, that there will be a fiscal, there's a fiscal impact on this. It's in your packet. Should be next
the bill also is trying to address a long-term problem, even though this area is not a part of the city.
Take special notice, your particular attention to the last Senator paragraph Wyden,
and Congressman,
of the fiscal.
Walden's offices, in an attempt to get a federal grant through the board's underground this 18-mile stretch of line
before this area.
And by that way, hoping to reduce the maintenance costs to other systems in the long term. Beyond the unique Cascade Lock situation that Bob will talk a little bit more about, this bill would place a rate restriction on all municipal utilities that is totally incompatible with the new competitive industry world. Under this bill, municipal utilities selling power either at wholesale or under retail access to other areas on the West Coast could not compete in the market because their sales price would be...
Is there anyone who would like to testify in House Bill 3289 who has not had an opportunity?
I
just wanted to say for the record, there were two bills. One appropriated funding out of the 3% tax, the deregulation fees. The other one, this one didn't.
It asked the legislature
very supportive of going with
the legitimate and responsible decisions of the local officials
out on alternative energy sources. So I think it's critically important at this point in time, Mr. Chair. I think that it's appropriate, and I don't think we heard any testimony against it. I think the only testimony really we heard against the bills were in regard to taking it out of the 3% fund. So I'd move House Bill 3289 due to the fiscal impact to the full ways and means.
A couple of misconceptions from the two-pass recommendation.
Representative Patrick moves House Bill 3289 be referred to the committee on distribution system the full weight and means
being charged higher rates because they couldn't vote on the two-pass recommendation
discussion.
Not residents of the city. In fact, it is a completely separate distribution system. It could be operated separately. It receives all of its power from a different substation, and there is no way that we can intermingle the electronics between the city system and the sound.
Relating to clauses too narrow.
We have two distinct and separate systems that historically have always been separate as far as how they were accounted for, how they were budgeted. The problem we've always had is that that South Bank system, especially since the problems that Tom talked about, cannot pay for itself.
There's always another bill to get stuff.
It was perennially in the black.
Any discussion on House Bill 3289
in the time frame that Tom talked about, it became a bankrupt system. And we have in fact tried several times to have the EPA take over the system. They are not interested because it cannot be thoroughly cost-effective.
House Bill 3839.
We have talked to the residents there about forming their own association, electing their board of governors.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3839 is the bill which required the public body to provide a public record within 24 hours of request to inspect public record.
It's not the same.
That's the original bill.
And it's not an attempt
the amendment we're proposing
pass on
will be in front of you today.
Our
amendments, we have the dash ones and the dash twos.
Also, the only reason we are providing electricity outside of our city is the same reason we
dash
are.
Dash two amendments narrow the focus. This is coming back to financial privacy once again.
The private sector would do that. So if we want cable TV,
and
it
narrows the focus. Dash one narrow. I'm sorry. The dash twos will narrow the focus by identifying specific financial transaction information to be excluded from public records. Things like credit card number, payment card expiration date, personal ID number, password, checking account number, and check routing. Mr. Chair.
And so I want to.
Thank you. Calling in terms of the amendments.
Briefly, why South Bank rates are higher. In August 1999, there was a rate study done by the city.
What this addresses, the bill we were trying to address before this, and their related clause is too narrow.
Did a cost of service analysis.
We found one with a broader relating clause.
I believe you got
rules
the written material over to us. Tom, that includes a letter from the person at Economic and Engineering Services.
The operative language is on page 6, and the
and as far
purpose
as the
here
study,
is to is to not
he says
exclude
in this letter that you have
from
release
any information
of our analysis shows that South Bank customers have higher cost
but
of service
in terms of any financial information used to
these additional
authorize a credit card with a credit card number, the authorization numbers,
and
the financial information, the other things, and then
the
other change in terms of
that
would change
currently
because
of this
if someone were to request
a
check
a single line stretched out entire distance,
something that
the line losses are much higher on that kind of
routing and the checking account numbers
and therefore,
at the bottom of the check,
even though
not
we charge
who wrote
the same
check
rate
or who signed the check,
bank system,
any of that information, very,
of buying
very
the
narrow
statement.
This is
at the end of the line is much higher.
Personal
for
information
that
could be used for financial detriment of an individual
study
is not
which showed that the city system was subsidized in the South Bank system.
So this
city council made
several decisions. Rules around
first thing,
still protecting
the
public's right
the
to know.
The consultant's recommendation was if
you want to make a transaction mistake,
you
want to understand how much it was
the
worth
in South Bank on what it actually cost you to serve
any information.
You would increase
necessary
rates 10% in 1999, and then 1%
rather for limiting, not releasing financial transaction information.
In fact, the page that Representative Leonard showed you was not from
limit,
a consultant. It was actually something that the city council considered. The eight options they considered to try and implement the consultant's recommendation. And they chose an option rather than simply increasing those rates 10.5% in the first year. They made the decision to spread those costs out over 3 years to try and soften the blow on the
Representative
customers.
This would
the rate study also interestingly showed that based upon the cost of service studies,
so
the rates in the city of Kansas
information
have been
it's available today, we may be able to accept for
the council made the decision not to
check
rates,
numbers,
kept them higher than they
today and how those
those can be used for the potential detriment of an individual or company,
that there wasn't passed on to the South Bank residents for the cost of service. The city system, even with these increased rates, still subsidizes the work session from as far as administration.
Is there anyone else would like to, testify on House Bill 3839 who has not had an opportunity to testify?
Are not spread over South Bank. They're paid almost entirely by the city residents.
Open a work session on House Bill 3839.
This equipment, we're not capturing any part of that equipment cost from the South Bank customers because we know that there's a small customer
law going forward,
that it's from you can't afford it. It's still essentially bankrupt. So the city, even with these rates,
I had the Dash Ones drafted as well, and there was some discussion in terms of the newspaper.
Before, if they wanted to take over the system and elect the representatives and buy their power from Bonneville directly, their rates would be higher than they are now. So this is not a situation where a political.
I'd be more inclined to support the Dash One amendment.
No, I'm confident you're going to support the Dash One.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Chair, I move the Dash Two amendment.
President Patrick moved the Dash Two amendment to House Bill 3839.
What is the city doing to solve the problem? There are several things
there
that we are
to adoption?
Attempting to do to bring those rates down as low as possible. We got a grant from the Forest Service to do a feasibility study for undergrounding the entire distribution system. It's an extremely expensive project.
Chair, I move House Bill 3839 as amended to the House with a due pass recommendation.
We'll be able to do that with their 157 meters that are out there, so we know.
Representative Patrick moves House Bill 3839 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Or the city discussion will subsidize that as well.
Is there any objection?
But we know that's the only one, given the decline in customer load, that we can ever reduce our operating costs.
Anybody have a
marine
desire?
We think it's consistent with the scenic gorge act and the desire to reduce some of the urban kinds of uses like that. And so we're hopeful that that the federal government will assist us in funding getting that undergrounded. Once that happens, then those rates can be well significantly reduced. I have submitted an appropriations request to Senator Smith's office for some of the funding for doing that. We intend to pursue grant requests and get the 18 miles of distribution line undergrounded as quickly as we can. But when you have a city as small as Cascade Locks, a $4 million project for distribution like this it's an extremely significant project for us to consider. But we are trying to be proactive and deal with the situation. The other thing that the City Council did was to form a Citizens Utility Advisory Committee as a part of trying to decide how to deal with very significant BPA rates that that municipal utilities and I think all utilities in the Northwest are going to be facing. And there are five members on that Utility Advisory Committee. One of those lives in the South Bank area. That's 20% of the committee. They represent 16% of our load, so by that calculation, I think that they are fairly represented on this committee that will make recommendations to the City Council on any rate increases in the future. And in fact, as a part of their deliberations, they reaffirmed the 1999 rate increases, and this was by a unanimous decision, and the South Bank representative was there at the time. They reaffirmed as their base rate, to which we would add the BPA rates, this rate increase that's been characterized as discriminatory and unfair. Actually, it's a cost-based rate that, when it was analyzed by this committee, was determined to be the appropriate base to start from to add the BPA costs increase. And the final point that I would like to make is that you need to understand Cascade Locks as a community and understand its ability or lack of ability actually to subsidize any other operation like this separate system. City of Cascade Locks is a distressed community. It's on the distressed communities list. We have more than half of our population low to moderate income. I think all of our businesses in our downtown and the number of those businesses has been declining as mills closed and aluminum plants closed in the area. Almost all or essentially all of our businesses downtown are for sale. That's a very seasonal economy. In the summer, we have visitors there, but if you go there in the winter, you can easily find a parking place anywhere you want to park, and you won't have any wait in any of the restaurants. We are also an enterprise zone, which the state legislature created to assist rural communities that need special assistance with their economy. So the point I wanted to make is this is not a community that the legislature needs to put an additional burden on that is not discriminatory, but based, but it's a rate that was based upon our actual cost of providing a service that we didn't ask to provide in the first place. And I think it would be extremely unfair. It's a bankrupt system. We're not a community that can afford to do this, so please do not put that burden on our residents. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Willoughby. Representative Gerard, before you ask your question, I would remind you, committee, that this is only scheduled for public hearing today.
Yeah, just one quick question. Are you mandated to supply electricity to Brattleboro?
We haven't looked at that question. There are obligations. We haven't really looked at that question. I don't know what would happen if we turned off that separate system. We could certainly do that. Multnomah Falls would, and their new sewer system would be out of electricity. I really don't know the answer. We're trying to avoid even looking at that question. We want to try and find a way to get that ground, that line undergrounded so that we can reduce our cost to the point where we can continue to provide the service, because frankly there's really no alternative other than that area forming its own utility district and taking over that operation themselves.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Representative Romay.
Thank you. To follow up on that statement that you just made, what would that entail for that those people to form their own utility district?
Is there a city doing that now?
If I may, Mr. Chair, Representative Tomei, two things. There is a process at the state level through the PUC to develop what they are called allocated service territories, and within those service territories, you are mandated to provide service. That this area that of South Bank is not allocated to Cascade Locks under that structure. Your specific question about formation, the people, one of the fundamental rights of the people across the nation here in Oregon is that folks may, if they are dissatisfied with the service that they're getting or they're not getting any service, they can form their own either municipal electric utility, a people's utility district, or a rural electric cooperative. The methods of formation are all a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. But it is feasible.
I would add, it is very tough. One, you have to have people who are really upset with their service. There is a formation in the city of Hermiston at the moment where they're talking about forming a municipal utility and buying out Pacific Core in that area. It's not an easy thing to do. The last municipal utility was formed in the 1950s, the Springfield Utility Board. Most of our members go back to serving around the turn of the century in the 1890s, but it is, the people have that fundamental right to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Worth.
Quick question. I guess I'm not understanding why you can't simply appoint a board separate from the city council. It sounds like the city council is now acting as the board of the municipal utility district. Why not just have a separate board and have them be the board instead of having the city council serve as city council as well as board of this district?
Mr. Chair, Representative Worth, it's the most of the small municipal utilities, the city council serves as the utility board, and I don't know that they use a gavel any different way. It's just that the city council governs the municipal utility the same way they do water service, sewer service, or anything else. And I guess I would point out that there are many cities in the state that provide sewer and water service outside the city limits, and many of those at different rates, also as a municipal service. The larger municipal utilities do have a directly elected board, in the case of Springfield and Eugene Water and Electric Board. But specifically to your question, that has historically been a matter of the city charter, not the state statutes. The design under which people can form their municipal utility or PUD or municipal utility is established as part of the city charter.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Bob Montgomery, Dave Barenberg, and Mark Nelson to all come up together, please. And the briefer the better. Probably. I mean, that would be a hell of a big
thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have a very busy schedule. I'll be very brief. I'm here. My name is Bob Montgomery from Cascade Locks. I'm here representing myself and other citizens of Cascade Locks. This is a tough one, having followed two senior members and a mother superior, but I'm going to go ahead and oppose this, House Bill 3481. Very briefly, I've represented this area for 6 years, and I don't remember anybody contacting me prior to the tail end of my job as a state legislator about this issue. The citizens of Cascade Locks own this system. There are 11 other cities in the state that have the same situation that we do. We offer the service outside the city. You've heard all the technical things from the technocrats. Years ago, no one wanted us, so we set up our own system. And we decided to take in some other people, and now you see what's happening. It costs more to serve these people outside, and you've heard the stories of the gorge with trees falling down on the lines running back and forth, and it's 15 to 20 miles down through a bunch of trees that they have to maintain all the time. And with the Columbia Gorge Commission now, it's more difficult to do things in the Columbia Gorge, justifiably so, I guess. We wanted to put a bike path in. We had to move our poles, and you can't believe the red tape our city's having to go through to move the poles because they wanted to put a bike path in. Most of the people in rural Oregon know it costs more to live in rural Oregon, but the people in the big cities, I lived in West Salem for 8 years, and I lived out of the city limits. My sewer rate was double what the people in town paid, and I knew that. I accepted that. So it's not something that's unique. Most cities in the state, Portland included, charge more for the water and sewer system if you live outside the city. That's your choice you make. I ask you to not consider this bill any further, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Dave Barron, representing League Oregon Cities, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you, and I, too, will be brief. It's sometimes said that in public service, no good deed goes unpunished, and in terms of this legislation, I think, or this circumstance, as the previous witnesses have spoken, that the city did not ask to provide the services in the first place, was doing so to try to meet a need that was there. There is a process that does have involvement of citizens from the area that the service was extended to. It seems to me that this is an issue that's one best dealt with in a local level by the local decision-making authority to try to arrive at a local solution to a problem that's specific to a limited area. And with that, I would also ask you to not consider this bill further. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Mark Nelson, Public Affairs Counsel, representing Eugene Water Electric Board. This bill, as presented to you today, is a very simple bill. We would maintain, however, as you are beginning to find out, it's a very complex issue. It has, I think, some very major unintended consequences. I understand the nature of the problem and the nature of the solution, proposed solution, but I think it causes major problems throughout the state. The language assumes that we at Eugene Water Electric Board charge on the basis of location. This is not true. We charge on the basis of the cost of service, the rate, not on the cost of service rate, and not on location. Let me give you an example. Warehouses are located in the city of Eugene, located outside the city of Eugene. We serve, and because of their size and the nature of their load, they pay a lower rate than, say, Sacred Heart Hospital that's inside the city of Eugene. This is because Weyerhaeuser has what's called an even load. They don't have a lot of peaks, and they operate off-peak when the power is cheaper. Under this bill, we would be required to lower Sacred Heart's rate to match Weyerhaeuser, or conversely, increase Weyerhaeuser's rates to be the same as Sacred Heart. And I want to point out that the bill does not distinguish between residential, commercial, and industrial rates. It just speaks to customers. And as Representative Leonard, I think, accurately has portrayed, he is speaking to residential rates, but I think the bill, again, has unintended consequences and is much broader in its application to other units besides residential holders. Finally, EWEB is also a power marketer, and we sell power to California, among other places in the Pacific Northwest. This bill appears to require us to sell our power to California at the same rate as we have to sell to our customers in Eugene. And again, this is not, this is why I spoke to unintended consequences. Clearly, this is not the intention of the proponents of the bill, but it does have that kind of impact. So we would, again, you've heard other reasons besides my unintended consequences to oppose the bill, and I think those are also quite good. I think you're stepping in, this bill steps into an area which, again, is very, very complex, and the Eugene Water Electric Board would like you to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to testify on House Bill 3481? Thank you. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3481. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2060. And Matt, give us a quick rundown on this while Pam's bringing that up, please.
Mr. Chairman.
Here, U503 OPEU. And I just wanted to come up briefly and say we actually don't disagree with what Representative Witt was saying just now, that the term exception might better fit what we're trying to describe with the currently called tax expenditure reports, the idea being simply that we're trying to identify where taxes, if you were trying to set an across-the-board tax, and you've exempted or forgiven certain groups or certain people from that tax, that is, in essence, a lost revenue that, true, you never had it in the first place, but if the principle of fairness across the board is applied, then you do want to calculate or find out how much money has not been collected that would otherwise have been collected if there had been across-the-board application. So that's the purpose of the report, and the report would still stand, as I understand it, still. The tax expenditure report would still stand, and so we don't have a problem with that bill. Just want to let you know that.
Okay. Thank you. Rich, it would still be called, it would no longer be called the tax expenditure report, so it would be called the tax exception
report.
But it would still be the same document that we get, and so we could see what the effect of tax exceptions,
precisely,
deductions, and credit costs.
The content of the report would remain the same in terms of identifying dollar figures of foregone revenue.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Corey?
Rich, have you seen the Dashboard amendments?
Only briefly on the table. I haven't actually compared them with the actual bill to see what effect they have.
There's a section that is deleted in ORS 291195, which says these types of tax expenditures are similar to direct government expenditures because they provide special benefits to favored individuals or businesses and thus result in higher tax rates for all individuals. That would be deleted in the -1 amendment. Do you have a comment on that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kafuri, yes, I do. I actually think that would be, if the terminology were changed in there, but the overall section were kept, or that those phrases were kept, then we wouldn't have a problem. But the meaning of that section, I think, actually is very important, and I wouldn't support deleting that. So the -1s, I think, would be a problem for us. Because that's the point, I think, of this tax expenditure or tax exception report, is to identify how much of for lack of a better word, the burden of taxes does get shifted onto a narrower base by making these exceptions in what would otherwise be an across-the-board tax principle. Thank you.
Representative Witt, I know you'd like to maybe respond to that question as well.
I'd like to respond to Representative McCoy's question, particularly on the dash ones. The problem, Mr. Chairman and Representative Kefouri, is that if you don't remove that language, it totally undermines the purpose of the bill. Just look what it says. These types of tax expenditures or exceptions are similar to direct government expenditures. These that provide special benefits. Well, I don't think they are similar to direct government expenditures. They're different than direct government expenditures, because direct government expenditures involve dollars that have been taxed and have come into government and then have been expended. I don't disagree with what Mr. Peppers is saying in terms of the value of the report. I think the report should continue. I think it's important policymakers have that information and can look at that information and look at the revenue impact from that information. But to allow the language to stay in the bill, which says these are similar to direct expenditures, just undermines the entire purpose of the bill. They're not the same as direct expenditures. They're different. Direct expenditures involve money that has been taxed and expended. These involve dollars that have not been subject to tax because of a policy decision that the state has made. So that's the reason why the dash ones eliminate that language.
Mr. Chair, if I could also briefly respond. I think that the idea of that section would be to simply point out that the cost of services then does get shifted onto other groups in the current who are paying the taxes and are not accepted from them. And I think the basic meaning should be preserved in order to do this. I think that probably could be done with a change of terminology to still keep the intent of that section, which is to identify that there is an effect of these exceptions.
I need to know where he is. Dave, thank you. Looking at March.
Yeah, just a clarification. Tax credits are actually an expenditure in that we have received the money in and then give credit back for that, as I understand it. Is that...
Mr. Chairman, Representative March, no, I don't think that's correct. A tax credit is something that says you can offset taxes on a dollar-for-dollar basis. It doesn't mean that you've paid them in. It simply means that you have a credit against tax. So you can use tax credits and not get a refund back. It just offsets potentially other tax liability that you have on a particular filing date.
Yes. I'm not going to allow this going back and forth, but I just want you to understand I'm going to cut this off here real
quick. I appreciate that. I just want to say it could get pretty complicated if we did want to talk about refundable tax credits, because then you do have a situation where you're spending something. But I wouldn't even say that is that's not a bone of contention for us. I think the basic point is we can agree on a different terminology as long as we keep the meaning of that section that was contention.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on House Bill 3337? I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3337. Let me get down here. Can we get a stand of these for a minute? Don't go anywhere.
Van Fleet, who told me during my first week in office, don't make a bad bill better. And I don't think this is a bad bill. I'm concerned. I think there's a lot of concerns that have been raised by the community, and I think it's the sort of thing the community ought to work out with itself and not have to bring down here to Salem. I think there's sometimes Salem needs to get involved with some local issues. In my mind, as I draw the line on that continuum, this hasn't risen to that level yet. So I'm going to vote no in the name of local control and and encourage the parties to work this out on their own, even though I think this legislation will help prod that even more. But I'm going to vote no today.
Okay. Representative March?
Notwithstanding the Cascade Lock has plenty of parking, there are local elected officials here that they should be dealing with, and I don't think this is a matter that the legislature should be dealing with. It's a local issue.
Thank you. Representative Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, the problem here is that local governments have refused to continue any discussion. We've seen a letter coming from Mike Burton, the executive director from Metro, simply telling people that he's not going to deal with it and go talk to somebody else. And so it's the proverbial runaround. The state of Oregon has invested a significant amount of money into this facility, and I find it very interesting that the very organizations which are charged with promoting transportation and mass transportation are finding every reason in the world not to to promote the use of this public facility, which we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in providing to the citizens of this area. All this bill does is say, go off and figure out a parking system. It is permissive as to what it may do. It gives them all the ability to limit it. Metro was so kind as to provide copies of the contracts, and they've already entered into a contract that allows with the parking committee to accept money for a pay parking system. So all the tools are there. It's just the willingness of these bodies to go off and to enter and embark into it. I think this is totally appropriate in terms of what you have a community and a number of neighborhood associations which have worked for years to try to resolve this issue and have been unsuccessful and are seeking redress from the legislature. And so I think it's totally appropriate, and that we're not imposing a solution, we're imposing a framework for a solution and giving the tools to the local governments and to the citizens around there a mechanism to work it out. And I think it's totally appropriate, and I would urge a yes vote and send it to the floor.
Representative Tomei.
Having come from local government, I am just deeply offended that we're looked on as Big Brother that is going to make decisions that affect local government. This obviously is a problem that is happening between several branches of local government, and I think it is totally irresponsible of us as Big Brother and Big Sister to come with a hammer and say, you must deal with this, you must make this decision. I think we need to say to our local government, this is your issue. You need to come with a responsible decision. This is not the purview of state government to be meddling in local government. So I will be very definitely voting no on this.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Cruz.
Committee, I've got a 10:15 meeting.
That's good to hear. Any other discussion? Okay. I would just make a quick point, and that is there is definitely a statewide concern here because we do have a huge investment in this, and the statewide concern is that when people from Eastern Oregon or Southern Oregon or Douglas County decide that they want to come up to the Portland area and they want to be able to get on MAX, they should have a place to park to be able to do that, and especially if they're trying to keep their car off the street. From a standpoint of using the transit, And if we do not make transit as convenient as using your car, people will not use a transit system, plain and simple. With that, for call the roll.
Representative Brown.
Aye.
Representative Gerard.
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative
Savoy? No. Representative Cruz? Aye.
Representative
Mark? No.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative
Tomei? No.
Representative Ward?
No.
Chair Trumbull? Aye. House Bill 3540, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Hill, would you carry this, please?
I certainly will.
Thank you very much. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 3548, and we stand adjourned.